He's been a blessing to my heart. Appreciate all the singing and everything that's been done and said tonight and every night. It's always kind of mixed emotions when you leave on Friday night. You come and you get real acquainted with folk, and then you have to get up and go. And we've made a lot of friends across the country. I was thinking a while ago when these folks were singing, brothers talking about, Brother Pope's talking about how he grew up. I grew up the same way, brother, way back nowhere. No running water, just grew up about as poor as anybody could be. And God's been good to us and helped us in a million ways. I honor him. Everything I sign across the country, if you get a text from me, at the bottom of it, my name, it always says, thank God for Calvary. And if it wasn't for the cross tonight, none of us would be what we are and where we are. We'd be in hell tonight if it wasn't for the Calvary. And we need more preaching on the cross, what our Lord did. So I appreciate the fact of getting to be here and ask you to pray for us the next few weeks. We'll be very busy. We find us in, we'll be in Union, South Carolina, and in Independence, Virginia. And then we'll be in Lansing, North Carolina, and Kannapolis, North Carolina. And then we'll be in Tampa, Florida, and back in Chilhowee for a week. And pray for the throat that God would help it. I don't know, it's just acted up. I'm going to have to see my specialist again next week if the Lord will let us get in. And we're just having a lot of trouble again. And I know that don't mean much to you, but it means a lot to me. And I'd rather die than not be able to preach. And so I've had three good years of success with it since they told me that if it turned into cancer, that they'd have to. I've had two uncles to die with throat cancer. I've got an uncle right now. My mother's last brother just took cancer off of his throat 2 weeks ago. Had to take him back in yesterday and operate on him again. Throat cancer runs real bad in my family. And so doctor told me 3 years ago that if that thing come back, that I'd have to operate and I'd do well to be able to talk again. And so that's a great load on my mind. And so I appreciate your prayers. And I appreciate you folks, all of you. You folks, somebody been here every night. And I appreciate you deeply from my heart. Appreciate you, Pastor. And everything's been said. You new preachers that have met, I appreciate that. Sister Craven, I personally want to give you a thank you for keeping the place clean over there. And I preach constantly. About every week I'm somewhere preaching. I go in some churches that look like a pigsty. I say this humbly. Just look like a pigsty. Dirty, nasty, and they look like I've been clean. I want to personally, Sister Craven, I know you come work here and clean the building. I want to personally thank you for the way you keep the house of God. That means a lot. That means a lot. And I mean that. If you don't love God enough to keep his building clean, you got a problem. And I appreciate the Lord. I appreciate what he's done. And who he is, and gives us hope in our heart to keep going on. So you pray for us. We developed some friends here over the years. Some of these days we're going to walk out of a meeting like this, and that's going to be the end of it. We're not going to see each other no more down here. And so we don't know when that's going to be. And if that should be the case here, kind of like Mays Jackson said once, that a lady came up to him and said, she said, Brother Mays, I hope to see you in the rapture. Brother Mays said, Sister, that'll be up to you because I'll be there. Amen. So, amen. Let's all stand tonight. I usually preach most of the time expositorily, but I'm going to preach more of a little thought-type message tonight. I want to remind you before we preach what we said on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. God really helped us. God really burdened my heart about our body being the temple of the Holy Ghost of God. You have of God, you're not your own. You bought the price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And we tried to make much of that through the week, that God, the ministry of the Holy Ghost, we preached the first three nights, and ministry, let mention last night, that ministry, that withering ministry, the withering ministry. Isaiah 40, all flesh is grass, and the glory of it is like the flower of the field. He went on to say, my people's grass. And he said that the grass withereth, the flower thereof passeth away because the Spirit of God bloweth upon it. He's talking about that withering ministry. Let the Spirit of God wither your life. Are you listening at me? Let the Spirit of God wither your life. Let him blow on that flesh and preach to that flesh and deny that flesh and humble that flesh and let him wither that flesh, that the flesh dies and the glory of that thing ceases to be. The littler you become, the smaller you become, the greater he'll become. I'm afraid the reason he ain't too big today, the rest of us is just too big. He'll only be big to them that's small. Turn your Bible tonight to Hebrews chapter 10. I apologize for this old throat. I'll be glad when I get a new body. I've had good success all year. I think it's about 16th meeting I've preached this year. And got 7 or 8 weeks left booked out. But I've not had trouble up to this week. I think it's your pastor. I think I'm allergic to him. He knows I'm only kidding. But I've had good success till Wednesday night, and all of a sudden that thing is just giving me trouble again. I hate it. I hate it. I'd rather you be sick as me, quite honestly. Don't act so spiritual right there now. Say, that ain't no way to feel. Well, be real honest about it. Ain't that about the way you feel? I said, I'd rather me be sick as you. You told a lie right through your teeth. Amen. Ain't that right? Hallelujah. Hebrews 10, verse number 32. The Bible said, but call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. For you had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves, thank God, that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. I say amen to that. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we're not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. I want to draw a thought tonight out of verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence. I'm going to talk to you just a minute tonight on some things that I remain confident of. Let's bow to pray. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to be here. And Lord, I pray you'd help us. Lord, I'm not disappointed, God, that I stand with a bad voice. I want you to have your way, but I pray, Lord, if it be your will, that you'd help us tonight. Touch my throat. And God, enable us, I pray. Thank you for this church, Brother Rick, and the people here that's been kind and sweet and precious this week. Lord, made friends with them, and I pray you'd bless them and bless the work here. Lord, for everybody that's been here this week and whatever night, I pray, God, that you would work in their heart. Our Heavenly Father, tonight, please draw us, Lord, up near you. God, in these days of darkness and sin, God, days of deception and wickedness and perversion, I pray, God, you'd draw us up close and help us, Lord, to live near the throne of God. And our Father, to draw our strength and breathe heaven's air. Lord, to walk in the joy of God in these dark days. And I pray, Lord, you do something in her heart tonight. I don't know the people's heart. I know, God, that you do, and I pray you'd help us. We love you and honor you for all you've done. And Lord, for what you're going to do.
Have your way, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I do apologize. I know it. You don't have the strain that it puts to try to. What it is, those two things are so big, my vocal cords won't come together. And it just sounds like a choked rooster. Amen. But I want to preach tonight a minute on some things that I remain confident of. I don't preach much a subject message. I preach more expository about all the time. But I'm hearing this cross country in a lot of places. I hear statements like, statements made like, I don't know what I believe anymore. You ever heard that? You ever anybody say that? I've heard people go through struggles and troubles and heartaches, and they say, preacher, I don't even know what to believe anymore. And this generation of people is in doubt, and they've lost their confidence in things. And what used to be right's wrong anymore. What used to be wrong's right. And ain't that the truth? And if I didn't know God, I'd be more confused, old saying, than a two-headed woodpecker pecking at a steel post. I mean, I'd just be confused. I'm honest with you. If I didn't know God, I'd think, and I'm not saying not being ugly, if I didn't know God, I'd think church the biggest joke ever lived. I'd think it's the biggest joke ever lived. You see, people get in, they swear they love the Lord, and how they're going to serve God in a few years. They apostatize, go back, and deny everything they've ever said they believed. And we've just made a mock of God in this country. Made a mock of everything there is. And seem like people have just lost their confidence in everything. Bible said in Psalm 118 verse 8 and 9, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Better trust in the Lord to put confidence in princes, what the Bible said. Bible said in Micah 7, 5, trust you not in a friend, put no confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of your mouth from her that lieth in your bosom. He said, even sometimes you can't trust your wife. Amen. Just coasting out a little bit. Job 4:18, he said, behold, he putteth no confidence in his servants. And his angels he charged with folly. How much less in them that dwell in houses of clay, whose foundations in the dust, which are crushed before the moth. Don't put confidence in man, princes, a friend, your God, your bosom, your servants, nor an angel. Job 15 said, behold, he putteth no confidence and no trust in his saints. How much more or less an abominable and filthy man? He said, confidence in an unfaithful man's like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. But he did go on and say, for the Lord shall be your confidence, and he shall keep thy foot from being taken. Thank God. I'm glad we can trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall, he shall acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he shall direct thy paths. I'm telling you, we can trust in the Lord. Bible tells us to put our confidence in him. Now, let me say something to you tonight. Don't lose confidence in the things of God. I want to say three things to you, and I'll let you go tonight. Let me say number one, just by quickly, and I'm sorry I can't hip it. I remain confident that I can trust in a fit Christ. I can trust in a fit Christ. And I use that term fit based on Leviticus chapter 16, verse 20 through 23, when they chose two goats and they killed one goat and sprinkled its blood. And they took the other goat and they laid the hands on the head of that goat and they sent it away into the wilderness by the hand of a fit man. I'm glad tonight I have a fit Christ. I'm glad I have a Christ that's meet for my needs. He's a fit sacrifice. Did you know that? He's a fit sacrifice, thank God. Amen. You know why he's fit? because he's holy and he's pure and he's harmless and he's higher than the heavens. The Bible said for God, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for God hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I'm glad he's a fit sacrifice tonight. 1 Peter 2:22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. 1 John 3:5, he was manifested to take away our sin, and in him, thank God, is no sin. Aren't you glad of that tonight? I'm glad, thank God, we have a holy Savior, a precious Savior, a Savior that never sinned. Oh, Norman Vincent Peale up there said many years ago in New York City, he said, the blood of Jesus Christ can no more take away sin than a blood of a swine. Jesus, listen, takes away sin. He's a sinless Son of God. He's the holy, immaculate Son of God. May I say to you, he never thought sin. He never did sin in no way, form, nor fashion. You believe that tonight? You believe your Savior never did sin? Listen to me a minute, beloved. A fit sacrifice, that burnt offering was to be valuable of the sheep or the goats. It was to be virtuous without spot. It was to be voluntarily offered. It was to be a visible sacrifice killed before the congregation. It was to be a vicarious sacrifice. You know what they did to that sacrifice? The priest would take it, or that person that would take it, beloved, and lay his hands on the head of it and confess all his sins upon the head of that sacrifice. Then they'd split its throat and catch its blood and kill it. I'm glad, thank God. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, 2,000 years ago, God laid on him. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every man to his own way. But the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. I'm glad, thank God, that Christ bore my sin to Calvary, took my sin with down into the lower parts of the earth and carried my sin down and emptied them up in hell and rose up again on the third day and justified me and freed me from all of my sins. I'm glad I have a fit sacrifice tonight. Amen. The Bible said that every high priest offereth sometimes daily the same sacrifices that can never take away sin. Hebrews 10:10, but 12 said, but this man, when he had offered one sacrifice forever, sat down on the right hand of God. I'm glad when he said, it is finished. You know what he meant? Thank God. He meant, hallelujah, it is finished. I'm not looking for another sacrifice. My sins are gone tonight. My sins are gone. Are you listening to me? Can I get a witness out there? They're gone. I have a fit sacrifice. I have a fit Savior tonight. I can trust in a fit sacrifice, but I can trust in a fit Savior. I'm not looking for another. Amen. They said to John one day, John said, go ask him, are you him or do we look for another? John, Jesus said, go back and tell him, I'm him. Amen. Thank God. My throat would loomer up a little bit. Maybe we could preach a little. Amen. Out there on the hillsides of Judea one night, shepherd. Shepherds were keeping watch over their flock, and an angel appeared unto them. And then you know the story, with them a heavenly host saying, glory to God in the highest, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He ain't a half Savior. He ain't a helping Savior. He never helped save nobody. He's a full Savior. He does all the saving. It ain't you and him got a good thing worked out and a good thing going. He's the whole Savior tonight. Amen. There is no Savior. He said in the book of Isaiah, I am your Savior and I know not another. There is no other Savior. He'll have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. There's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, who would have all men to be saved. I'm glad tonight he's the Savior of all men, the Bible said. If you get saved, you'll have to come to the Savior. You'll not get saved no other way. Preacher just recently told me that they done a new study among Baptist folk and asked the Baptist folk how many people believed. How many people believed that Jesus Christ was the only way to heaven? 86% of the Baptists said they do not believe he's the only way. I want to tell you, thank God he said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. There is none other name given under heaven among men whereby you must be saved. That old poem I put to memory the first year I got saved. There's none other name than thine, Jehovah Jesus, Savior divine, on which to rest for sins forgiven, for peace with God, for hope of heaven. I'm glad, thank God, I know the Savior tonight. Knowing Christ is eternal life. John 17:3, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ. This is eternal life. Hey, eternal life's not doing good. Eternal life's not doing bad. Eternal life's knowing the Son of God, having a personal relationship with him, being born of his Spirit, washed in his blood, placed in his body, being a part of his family, thank God. I have a fit Savior tonight. I don't need another Savior. Amen. Help me, Lord, tonight. Amen. I'm trying to enjoy that even though my throat's hurting. Hallelujah. Listen to me this evening, friend. He didn't come to try to save nobody. He come to seek and to save. He didn't come to stand on the bank. Amen. And pour drowning sinners out there and throw them a lifeline and say, now get a hold, do the best you can. No, sir. He swam out into the sea of life. Amen. And laid hold on sinners and drew them to safety and saved them. He didn't try to save anybody. I ain't half saved. I ain't a hoping I'm saved. He's a full Savior tonight. I have a fit sacrifice and I have a fit Savior. Matthew 1:29:1, his name will be called Jesus, for he shall save his people. A lot of people stop right there and they don't go far enough with it. It don't stop right there. It tells you what he saves them from. He shall save his people from their sins. If he didn't save you from your sins, he didn't save you at all. Amen. If you're still living in the same sin that he found you in, you ain't been saved yet. Amen. He saves you from your sin, not in your sin. He'll save you from it if he saves you at all. Anybody listen to me tonight? Amen. That'd be like saying, a man was out there in the ocean drowning, and Coast Guard come to get him, and they saved him, but they left him in the water. Man's burning up in a house fire. Fire department comes, and they saved him, but they left him in the fire. He come to save you from your sin. Thank God, sin's what's sending you to hell. But thank God, he the sinless one. Amen. I'm about to get plugged in. He the Holy One. He the separate one. He the Savior came, thank God, to get you out of your sin and make a new creature out of you and save you from your sin. Have you been saved from your sin? Hallelujah. I'm glad I got a Savior tonight. Amen. If I could, I used to sing. I don't sing no more. I preach so much and have so much throat trouble. If I could tonight, I'd cut a bar of that old song, Bethlehem, Calvary, all of that tale. Oh, what a Savior is mine. Mountains and plains have swayed his praises to swell. Oh, what a Savior is mine. I'm caught up with my Savior tonight. I'm not caught up with the Baptist. I'm not caught up with the board. I'm not caught up with this or that. I'm caught up with the one that come down from heaven, birthed through a virgin womb, lived a virgin life, died and went to a virgin tomb, and got up, thank God, victorious over sin, death, hell, and the grave. I have a fit Savior tonight.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I'm preaching too hard to drive 3 hours and get back to the house after a while. Amen. I told the Lord I'd preach a few minutes and let them out. I think I lied to the Lord. Amen. I'm glad I've still got confidence. I can trust. Let me tell you something. I'm as bound for heaven tonight as sure as I'm standing in this. You know why? I ain't trying to save myself. You couldn't save yourself on your best day. Best day you ever lived, you were nothing but a failure. There's none righteous, no, not one. None good, no, not one. We all sin and come short of the glory of God. Not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Amen. None good but God. You couldn't save yourself on your best minute. Amen. Amen. Thank God. I'm glad we got a Savior tonight. Hallelujah. I can stop right there and shout a little while. I'm glad we got a fit sacrifice and a fit Savior tonight. But we can trust in a fit servant. Lord, I'm already wore out. We can trust in a fit servant, thank God. There's only one servant. Isaiah 40, behold, my servant. On I put my spirit, he shall bring judgment to the Gentiles. Amen. Matthew chapter number 3. Jesus went down into the water to be baptized of John. Walked back standing down there in the water. And a dove came down from heaven and lit upon him and said, thou art my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. There ain't never been but one servant that God could trust in. And that's his own son and his own son's service.
Amen.
I'll trust in that tonight. I'll get my eyes off of man. And I'll trust in the service of the Son of God. What about you? I'm glad I can trust in a fit sacrifice, a fit servant, a fit Savior, and I can trust in a fit Sovereign. Amen. He said in his time, 1 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy 6, in his time, he'll show who is that only Lord God, the potentate. Amen. After a while, he's going to be the sovereign. Amen. I'm going to preach that before I get done tonight. Amen. Listen at me. He stood there to that bunch of Pharisees one day, and he said, hey, the next time you see me, it won't be beat up. It won't be like I'm looking at right now. You'll see me coming in the power in heaven, in the kingdom of heaven, in power and great glory. I'm glad he'll be the sovereign after a while. He'll take his seat and he'll rule this earth that rightfully belongs to him by creation and by redemption. Amen. Hallelujah to God. Wherefore, God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. All I want to preach is Jesus. Amen. He's the only hope for this world. I'm glad I can trust in a fit Christ. Let me say secondly, Lord, I remain confident and trust in a fit Christ. I remain confident that I can tell of a faithful Christ. Hallelujah. I'm glad, thank God, he's faithful. Paul said in Acts 28, verse 30 and 31, Bible said Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence. Amen. Paul said, I don't doubt a bit I'm talking about. He said, I don't doubt a thing I'm preaching. I don't doubt a thing I'm telling you. Don't doubt a thing I'm teaching you. I'm doing it with all confidence. I tell you, the world's crumbling and falling apart, but I ain't got no doubt what I'm preaching. Amen. I ain't worried about it. It's gonna be some big success. I'm not worried about making a big mark. I'm just telling you, we're still preaching a faithful Christ. He'll still be faithful. He'll be faithful to his cause. He'll be faithful to his cause. What is his cause? Saving sinners. Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He's faithful to the cause of saving sinners. He'll still save somebody. Amen. 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 John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. There is no difference. Romans 12:10-12, there's no difference. For the same God over all is rich unto all that call upon him. But whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm glad, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I'm glad he'll still save sinners. The problems, ain't nobody a sinner today. We ain't got no sinners today. Everybody's good fella. Even as the Son of Man, he said the Son of Man came not to call the righteous, but he come to call sinners to repentance. Amen. We used to have a boy at church I pastored, first church I pastored, kind of retarded boy. And he called himself Numb. He stood up one night and he said, barely could talk, barely could understand him. And he said, Numb got saved. Numb didn't know how to get saved. But he said, Numb just furnished the sinner. And the Lord furnished the Savior. I thought that's about as good as I ever heard it put. One night, thank God I furnished the sinner. Amen! I furnished the sinner. When I furnished the sinner, he furnished the Savior. Praise God. Amen. My voice is about to get loosened up. Praise God. He'll save the sinner. Have you ever become a sinner? You are where you know it or not. Most folks too good to go get saved. Most folks too good to go to heaven. I think I said it one night this week, but then I said it so much somewhere, I don't know where I said it, but anyhow, I'll say if I didn't. Good people go to hell. Sinners go to heaven. I'm glad one day he knocked all the pride out of me. Amen. Hardest person in the world to see the need to be saved. Somebody been brought up in church all their life. He'll still save sinners. Paul said this in 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save who? Sinners. Paul said, I was the chief of sinners. Amen. I think I'll just preach a little bit and get to the house whenever I do. Thank God I become the chief of sinners one night. They ain't no good sinners. He saves wicked sinners, wretched sinners, vile sinners, defiled sinners, ungodly sinners, reprobate sinners, righteous sinners. He saves rebellious sinners. He saves ungodly sinners. He saves sinners with needle marks in their arm. He saves sinners that had illegitimate babies. He saves sinners. Somebody ought to shout right there. He saves sinners. Hallelujah. I remember what I was before I put these good clothes on. I remember how dirty I was, how defiled I was, how wicked I was, how ungodly I was, how reprobate I was. But one night, thank God, an old preacher invited me down to the church. Amen. Dr. James Wayne Water out of Tallahassee, Florida. Amen. Did you ever know him, preacher? He dead now. Amen. He got up and he preached on the Paschal Lamb. He cut its throat and caught its blood and sprinkled it on the doorpost and said, if you get under that, you'll be all right. I didn't get saved that night, but it tore me all to pieces. Amen. Later on, a few months later, thank God, down the floorboard of the 1979 Subaru. Amen. Hell went out and heaven come in. Darkness went out and light come in. The devil went out and the Lord come in. I died and he lived. Hallelujah. Amen. If you ever become a sinner, you'll get in a good shape. Best thing you ever become in your life is to admit you're just an ungodly and worthy sinner. Hallelujah to God anyhow. He'll be faithful to the business of saving sinners. He'll be faithful to the business of strengthening saints. That's his call, thank God. You ever been so weak you felt like you could sit on a sheet of notebook paper and your legs would dangle? Anybody out there, anybody, can y'all listen to me? I went to church. I told a preacher here a while ago, I drove in a few weeks back. I was in revival down in Georgia, and 6-hour drive straight through nonstop. And I thought, well, I'll preach tonight and hit the road. And I drive about every Friday night on my way to the house. Now do what you want to do. Now, I'm not trying to tell you what to do. Don't let me bother you. I'm just preaching. Nobody pays no attention to a preacher. So, amen. I thought we'd get out of there. You know, I'd hit the road about 9:30, something doesn't get out of there. Preacher got up and said, anybody got testimony? Oh, God, I hate for that question to be asked on Friday night. There's always somebody going to tell you about the last 14 surgeries they had. 10:30, they're still talking. All I'm thinking about is that 6-hour drive. I pulled into the house at 5 o'clock in the morning. Wore out, slept 2 hours, got up and had to hit the hospitals and visit. Walked in the pulpit on Sunday morning, had to hit it out again on Monday morning, drive another 5 hours to another meeting and preach twice on Sunday. And I was just, by Sunday night, I was like this. And I thought, Lord God, I don't want to go another mile or not. Amen. But the choir got to singing. I'm on the winning side. I'm on the winning side. Thank God, business got picking up down on the inside. And the Savior began to be faithful to his cause to strengthen his children. There is no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. But God's faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, will also with that temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. He's still faithful to his cause of strengthening saints. Don't ask me how he does it, but he can do it. I can't explain it. I can't explain how you can get so weak and tired and come in and sit down and eat some mashed taters and a chicken leg and some green beans and some corn, smother it with a little good brown gravy and a big old roll, and all of a sudden your body takes over. I don't eat it and say, now roll, you do this, and chicken leg, you do that, and mashed taters, you do this. But my body just takes over and it just happens. I don't understand it, but I can pick up that old black book when I'm tired and weary and wore out. I don't know exactly how it works, but I know, thank God, it begins to strengthen me on the inside. I go down to the house of God when I'm weak and I'm weary and I'm tired, and thank God, can't explain it all, but I know when I get done, he helps me. Wife today, I was talking to her and she said, honey, that voice is getting worse. You're going to have to see that specialist again. I said, yeah, it's getting terrible. And she said, you know, it amazes me. She said, you'll get up at the church and you barely can talk sometimes. She said, your voice is so weak, you can't hardly talk. She said, but after you preach a few minutes, it's all gone. I said, that's God. If I was a Pentecostal, I'd speak in tongues right now. Amen. Amen. That's God, son. Amen. Oh, you'll mount up with wings like an eagle. You'll run and not be weary. You'll walk and not faint. I'm glad there's strength. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad there's strength in the Lord. Amen. Strength a medicine can't give you, and a pill can't give you, and a brother can't give you. Strength strict, thank God, that only the God of heaven, Paul said it, my first answer, nobody stood with me. Everybody forsook me and fled. He said, but nevertheless, the Lord strengthened me, delivered me out of the mouth of the lion. Hallelujah to God. I'll say it again, for it's a Pentecost, I'm speaking tongues. I need to have learned how to do that. Any of y'all know anybody to teach that stuff? They do teach that. They got schools. They teach that stuff. They start off saying, see my bow, see my tie, see my bow, see my tie. And then you go, see my bow, see my tie. And all they're saying, see my bow and my tie. Well, that's all it is. I might kill the meeting out there. Better move on. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, he can strengthen saints. He can still sanctify sons at his cause. Not only is he going to be faithful to his cause, I still believe he'll be faithful to his church. He will not fail us. He will not forsake us. And he will finish what he started in us. Praise God. I'd give you all them verses if I had time, bodily injury. But he will not fail us, forsake us, and he'll finish what he started. I believe in eternal security, don't you? I believe being confident of this very thing. That he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Christ Jesus. Philippians 1:6. He'll do what he started. He won't fit. Lord have mercy. I'm about preaching myself death now. Naomi said to Ruth, said, go down there and lay down at his feet. Just stay there through the night. Said he'll finish what he started. Amen. Amen to God. He's going to finish what he started. I preached years ago a little message. I was in this church, and this old woman's about 90 years old, and she believed in falling from grace all her life. She thought she could lose it. And I preached that night on too much salvation. That's what I preached on. I said, I've been in meetings where there's been too much praying. I have. I mean, too much singing and too much offering taken up. Far too much testimonies. Yeah. I said, but what when you got too much salvation? Everybody sat there and thought, where are you going with this? I said, Peter had too much salvation for the jail. Jail couldn't hold him. Jonah had too much salvation for the whale. The whale couldn't hold him. Amen. That woman down there at the whale had too much salvation to tell. Amen. I preached Jesus had too much salvation for hell. It couldn't hold him. I preached on you got too much salvation to go to hell. This old lady come to me, she was bubbling over like a big old geyser. She come to me, 90-year-old. She said, preacher, glory to God. She said, all my life I thought I could lose it. But tonight I realize I got too much salvation, I can't lose it. I'm glad, thank God, he's going to keep us, the church. Jesus coming to coast of Caesarea Philippi and said unto him, who do men say thou son of man am? Some say Jeremiah, some Elias, one of the prophets, whom you say I am. He said, I say thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, I say unto thee, Simon Barjona, flesh and blood not revealed unto thee. He said, thou art Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church. Listen to this. And the gates of hell. I'll never prevail against it. Oh, they've tried. They've tried all down through the years to prevail. I'm still preaching here a minute. They've tried, but they ain't never prevailed yet. We're still here, and we're going to be here when Jesus comes. Amen. John 6:37 said, all the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him come to me. I'm no wise cast out. John 6:37 said you can't be cast out. John chapter 10, verse 27-28 said that God give us eternal life, we're in the Father's hand, and no man will pluck us out. We can't be plucked out. Jude 24 said that we can't fall out. So if you can't be cast out, plucked out, nor fall out, sound like, bless God, you're pretty safe in. Amen. I'd get a hold of you about midnight tonight. You'd come out of the bed. You're in. I'm in. Amen. He'll be faithful to his church. May I say quickly, he'll be faithful to his crown. Hebrews 1 said that, but unto the Son, he said he hath anointed him with oil of, the oil of gladness and above all his fellows. He said his crown, his scepter is a scepter of righteousness. He'll never dip his wings to wickedness. He'll rule in righteousness to the end of the world, friend. He'll be faithful to his crown. He's not going to bow to sin. He'll be faithful to his coming, thank God. He that shall come will come, will not tarry. He's going to be faithful to conquer. Hallelujah. I got to hurry here. He'll be faithful to conquer. Amen. Y'all still with me here? Maybe I'm preaching too fast. Amen. Old Nebuchadnezzar laid down one night, went to sleep, dreamed a dream, tore him all to pieces, woke up. He said, man, I need to know what that dream was. Something's good about it. Say something about that dream. I need to find out what that dream was. Called all the magicians, astrologers, and smart alecks in the day.
Yes, sir.
Amen. That's right. Said, tell me that dream. They said, oh, king, tell us the dream, and we'll tell you the interpretation. He said, I know you'd buy time. You're a bunch of liars. You're going to make up something if I tell you the dream. He said, you tell me the dream, I'll kill every one of you. They said, there ain't a man nowhere in the face of God's earth can do that. Only one to do that's a God that don't dwell among men.
Yes, sir.
Amen. The captain of the guard that went out and started getting ready to kill him run into a little old boy named Daniel.
Yes, sir.
The wise boy named Daniel. Amen. I'm about to have a
spell.
He said, what's the matter, Mr. Captain? He said, we're going to kill all the astrologers, wise men. You're right in the middle of it, and we're going to get you too.
Yes,
he said, what's such a big hurry? He said, there's a God in heaven. Give us a little time. Daniel went in and asked the king, said, we have this little time. We'll tell you that dream.
Yes, sir.
He and he got them other three Hebrew boys and went out there and got to pray, and God revealed the dream to him. Come back and he said, oh, king, you're the head of God. You've seen this big old image, stood on its feet, upright, big, ugly thing, mean-looking thing. He said, head of gold, arms and chest, breast like silver, and thighs and belly like brass, and feet like iron and potter's clay. And he said, you've seen that thing to a stone come rolling down out of the mountain, tore it all to pieces, and crushed it to powder, and wind blowed it away. Are y'all listening to me? I've got further to go than y'all have. Y'all better listen while I'm preaching. Amen. Come rolling down there and tore that thing all to pieces. And the Bible said that it would come like shaft, just a little dust of the wind, blowed it all away. King said, that's it. That's the dream right there. What does it mean? Daniel said, you that head of gold. After you, there's going to be another king inferior to you, and after him, going to be one inferior to that, and going to be after another, going to be another, and it's going to be crushed. And he said, in the days of that fourth king, the God of heaven is going to set up a kingdom.
Amen.
Yep. Amen. He said, listen, don't get excited now. Don't get tore up. If you went to the ball game, not you'd be shouting, but don't get tore up. You're in church, remember. You're supposed to be real quiet and dignified. Amen. Yeah. He said, in the days of this king, in this kingdom, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never, ever, ever be destroyed. Then Daniel dreamed him a dream in Daniel chapter 7. He said, while I was beholding one like the Son of Man, the Ancient of Days, come and sit. And he got him a throne, and his throne reigned forever and ever and ever. He said he ruled until one day he turned that throne over to the saints of the Most High, and they ruled. May I say to you, thank God I'm going to rule this thing one day. You believe that? Amen. Man told me here a while back, he said, that old Bible ain't right. Said it said the meek will inherit the earth. Said, look at who's ruling this thing. It ain't the meek. I said, the earth ain't done yet. This battle ain't finished yet. Amen. It ain't done yet. The wicked and all sinners are going to burn in hell. And you and I are going to rule it with the Son of God someday. Amen. He's going to be faithful to that. I'm glad I can still trust in a fiat Christ. I guess y'all think I've preached this message 40 times. This is the only third time I've ever preached this. Not only we trust in a fit Christ, we can tell of a faithful Christ. Well, let me say in closing, I remain confident that I can talk to a forgiving Christ. A forgiving Christ. I've failed a million times. Exodus 34:5-6 said, and the Lord descended in the cloud, stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him, proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant goodness and truth, keep mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. I'm glad he's a sin-forgiving God. Amen. Psalm said, Psalm 130, O Lord, if thou shouldest mark iniquity, who should be able to stand? You'd mark it. You'd mark all of our iniquity. He went on to say, but, verse 4, he said, but there's forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be trusted. There's must be feared. I think that's the way it said. I'm glad they said, forgiven God. I know that y'all have heard this 1,000 times, but 1 John 1:9, thank God if we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I come out of the wickedest home you could ever imagine. I mean, I'm about done here. Wicked, wicked, wicked home. I was a wicked, wicked, wicked fella. God saved me out of that. And I didn't have but one witness in my life, and that was my grandmother, and she lived a long way off. Only witness, all my people on dad's side's drunks, and all my people on mom's side's drunks. I mean, growing up in a wicked house. I remember just after I got saved in February, started preaching in May, pastor in November, and got married in November. Lord, that's a lot of change, son. Yeah. And before I got married, I was going to go preach somewhere one Saturday night, and I called my grandma. And I said, Mom, I'm coming up that way, and I'm going to preach tonight, and would you like to ride with me? She said, yeah, honey, I'll ride with you. We went to this little old church, and I preached. And I don't remember I couldn't tell you if I had to. Couldn't tell you if my life depended on it. What I'd done. So I'd done something that week, and you know, I had this lays on your heart, and you're guilty, and all that old load on you. And so we pulled back near the house that night, and I called her Ma. That's what I all ever knew about Ma. She was a saint of God if ever was one. And I said, Ma, I think I'm going to have to quit preaching. And she said, honey, you just got started. Why do you think you're going to have to quit preaching? I said, Ma, I messed up this week. I don't remember what it was I done had to. I said, Ma, I messed up this week. I done wrong. And she said, honey, the Bible said. And she said, well, wait a minute. Come in the house a minute, honey. You went in that little old house. You know, it wasn't like the modern day houses today with all that home interior stuff on the wall. Just that old coal stove and a little old couch chair with a little bed sheet thrown over it, you know. Little granny's house, you know. You know what I'm talking about? That was granny's house. Bathroom was a path and a catalog. Amen. Some of y'all have no idea what I just said. Some of you are too snooty to even admit it if you did. Amen. She said, come in, honey. She had a big old family Bible. I've got it to the day she died and nobody wanted it but me. She had a big old family Bible. And she'd have down the side of that Bible, she'd have two or three marks, just lines. And I said, Ma, what's that line right there mean? She said, honey, that one line means it meant something. Two lines means it really meant something. Three lines, she said, how many it got to me? She turned over to 1 John 1 and said, let me read you this, honey. And it had four lines down it. Amen. And she read it and she said, it says, if you confess your sins, if thou shalt confess your sins, he's faithful. He's just, honey, to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. She said, honey, all you got to do is tell him you done wrong and admit it. He'll forgive you. I said, Ma, does that mean what it says? I didn't know nothing about the Bible. I hadn't been saved long. I said, Ma, does that really mean what it says? She said, honey, that means exactly what it says. She said, let's get down here behind the stove, me and you. Let's just talk to the Lord. And I just told him what I'd done. And you know what he done? He done just exactly what he said he'd do. But you know what? That's been 38 years. You know what I still have to do every once in a while, Brother Chris? Not every once in a while. If you drive the interstate, you'll do it about 10 times a day. And my wife's going somewhere here a while back, and his tractor and trailer run us that road three times on purpose. I got so mad, I passed him in the median in the grass. That wasn't too spiritual, I know. Don't tell me about that. I know how spiritual it was. I told my wife, I said, if I had my 9mm, I'd shoot his tires out. She said, you wouldn't. I said, you just better be glad I ain't got the 9mm. It'd be an episode of 911 right happening right now. Amen. 38 years passed, and I still find myself having to say, Lord, I messed up right there. God, I messed up right there. I made an awful boo-boo right there. Lord, I sinned, I messed up, I failed. But I still find it written in the same book that Ma showed me. If I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. 38 years and he's still doing it. Now, if it had been me, and I'm done, I promise you. If it had been me, I'd have kicked me out a long time ago. I'd have kicked me out of the family a long time ago. I'd have thrown me away. I said, you sorry thing, you failed me the last time. I'm done with you. But I'm glad, thank God, he's got something bigger in his mind. He sees a finished product. Let me give you this and I'm done. Come to piano, somebody. Listen, we built a $1.5 million building a few years ago. I drew the blueprints to it myself. I sat at the kitchen table and drew them. We got done. My wife said, all the time I was drawing them, she said, can you see that building in your mind? I said, I can see that building in my mind just as plain as I'm sitting in it. We got done with it. And she said, what about that? She said, it looks just like you drawed on that piece of paper. Now, I don't mean this in a Calvinistic way. I'm not a Calvinist. But we've been predestinated. For the foundation of the world, we're going to end up looking like Jesus. And there ain't no mistakes on the journey. When it gets done, when it's all over, you're going to say, what about that? I look just like he meant me looking. He started out. I was preaching back 300-mile back in the mountains of Mexico a few years ago. Flew into Dallas, Fort Worth. Got on a little old plane out there, and missionary flew us 300-mile back in the mountains. And before he left, he said, I got something I need to do before we go. And he went down there to the office and gone a while. And he come back, and I said, what'd you do? And he said, I filed a flight plan. And what do you mean? He said, well, I told him exactly how far it's going to fly and how many degrees a turn. And he said, I filed a flight plan. He said, it don't help me nary bit. He said, but if we go down, it helps him find us. I said, well, that's good news. Thank God, you know, we might go down. Hallelujah. Tell me some more about that part of the journey. We might go down, you know. See, before he ever flew, there was a point of origination. That's where you start off. And there was a point of destination. That's where you finished up. And the whole thing was predetermined from the time he filed that point of origination to the time he filed that point of destination. It was a predestination. He already had it determined. And the day God saved me, before God ever saved me, really, he filed a plan, a flight plan. Now everything's going to work good to my good and his glory. And then I'm going to arrive at the very place I'm supposed to arrive at the very moment I'm supposed to get there. So don't let this world tear you up. He said, don't lose your confidence. Got great recompense of reward. He said, if you keep your confidence, it'll pay you off at the end of the journey. Don't lose confidence, church. All these churches is changing their standards and changing their convictions and going to new Bibles and new methods and the new ways. After a while, if you ain't careful, you lose your confidence. I believe something could come through town with his hair painted four ways, wearing a black shoe and a white one. Looking like Red Skelton, because y'all don't know who Red Skelton is. Most of you too young remember Red Skelton. Looking like crazy. Come in, make up some kind of show, and most churches take them in and tell how good they are. That guy back yonder knows who Red Skelton is. I can tell the way he's grinning, don't you, buddy? Amen. And world has taken them in, and here we sit, still the old mainline Baptist, still preaching the old King James with the old standards, the old separation, and doing it always the way we've always done it. And the world's going on there smiling and grinning on their way to hell. And everything looks good in the big old worldly church, and the carnal churches are growing, and they're growing and growing in leaps and bounds, and we're losing folk and can't get her together at all. If you ain't careful, you'll lose your confidence, and the devil will whisper in your ear if you'd change a little bit. Well, I'm going to preach a fit Christ, a faithful Christ, and a forgiving Christ. Amen. And have confidence that that's still the message that'll work. Amen. Let's all stand. Thank God. Amen.